I want you to imagine that there is a man who has lived the rock and roll existence, the wilder side of life, enjoyed various vices, and has, up until this point, no regrets, will not apologize and does not feel bad at what has been done. Until one day, things catch up with him. A singular hospital visit, followed by more visits, followed by diagnoses and treatments, and then despair. This is, by the way, not entirely uncommon for you who imagine that you can live this rock and roll existence. Some bear heavy consequences for that decision, and this man does. Unexpected consequences for abandoning themselves to their own desires. And at some point, it's severe. They're told your heart is failing, your kidneys are going, your body isn't responding well. And the last thing that this person can remember in the hospital is sitting with the doctor and being told, we really don't know if we can keep this going. And it all goes dark. And then imagine the delight that that person feels when they wake up and they feel great. And the room is flooded with light and they say, how did this happen? And the doctor says, well, you have been given a brilliant gift. There was a terrible accident, and sadly, someone has died. And that person had said, in case of my death, please make use of my body. And so we have taken his heart and given it to you, or their heart and given it to you. You have a second chance for life. You have a new hope. And in that moment, understanding what a gift I have been given. What does the Bible say? The Bible says we all, every single one of us, these in this room and throughout the world, we are that person. That's what the Bible says. We are the person. And God has given a massive gift, his life for ours. I want to show you what I mean. We're going to be spending our time in John chapter 3. And I'm going to read a little bit, and then we're going to read the theme verse that we'll be exploring together, okay? So John chapter 3, you can find it on page 1065 of the Bibles that you should have received when you walked in. And if you do not have a Bible, we would encourage you to go ahead and take this home as a gift from our church so that you will be able to read God's Word, okay? Verse 13, and then we're going to say some words together, our theme verse, okay? Here is what we have. No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. Okay, now let's read together verse 16 there. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Who has heard these verses before? Is this not the emblem of Christianity that we are exploring this morning? Isn't it wonderful? This is God saying, I am giving you a massive gift, and the massive gift is my Son. What we'll be thinking about this morning is this. What is this gift of gifts? The Father gave the Son to save the sorry sinner. That's the massive gift. The Father gave the Son to save the sorry sinner. Let's start by noting God pours out his love for us. It's extravagant. He gives us incredible love in giving the Son in our place. He gives the Son in our place. So think about those words. For God so loved the world. According to God, he loves the world. I wonder if you would say it is self-evident that God loves me and that God loves every person on this earth. Would you say that? Well, let's think about it. What's the first thing you did this morning as you woke up? If you're like me, the first thing you do is you take this big, deep breath of air, don't you? Wait, hold on. Where'd you get your air? Where'd you get that air that you breathed? It is a 3 trillion tree conveyor belt that is constantly pushing out oxygen into our world so that we, as we take air and we use it up and we use it every second, that it is constantly being produced more and more and more so that everywhere else, everywhere on the earth, one can breathe and be okay. This is not an accident. This is God's system because he loves us. He provides. Nobody asked him to give us oxygen, and we wouldn't be here without it. He not only did that. Your body is like the most amazing thing. I know we have AI, and we think that's pretty cool. Nothing compared to what is inside of us. It is constantly working and keeping you alive, and you know nothing about it. And God just gives it to you. It's not just that. This whole world, if you look around, there's this beautiful system that God has designed to take care of you. Food and clothing and shelter, it all happens to be right at our feet. It's delivered to us. And he gives you a heart. And he gives you a mind. And he gives you days on earth. He gives all of these things. And why does he do it? It's because he loves us. I have children, and I love my children. So what do for my children? I give them food, I give them clothing, I give them a place to live. I give them all sorts of things they don't need. Toys. Sometimes I regret getting them the toys that I give them, but they get tons and tons of toys. And I try to help them to become what they really want to be. Well, God has done all that for us, you see. That's what he's done. This is this world that he's made for us. He loves us. It is self-evident that God loves us. What is surprising is how much he loves us. God loved the world to the extent that he gave his one unique son, his one and only son. That implies something very interesting. It implies that we are not his children, okay? We're not the one and only son. We're outside of the family, but that this son is going to be given for these outsiders out of incredible love. The natural child is going to be given so that unnatural children can be adopted. And that word one and only son doesn't mean that God doesn't care about his one son. It means that he cares more than anything for this one son. It's his most cherished thing. In the realm of possibility, there's nothing more weighty to be given than God gives the son. Now, because I am a Christian and I'm supposed to, I'm slowly learning to love others. I don't know if you, other people who are Christians, have devoted yourself. I need to learn to love others. I'm trying to learn, and so this means like listening to people and caring about what they say and where they're at, and I'm happy to try to learn to do that. But I'm never going to give you my child. I'm never going to give you my son so that you can be okay. No. In fact, if you tried to hurt my son, I would physically try to stop you to the point of if I had to kill you, I would. But what does God do? He lays down the life of his son. Do we understand something of the beauty and the power of God's love for us in that? He gives what is most precious to him for us. Now, who is this unique son that stands apart from all humanity? John answers that question himself, and we understand who the son is. And so if we just turn back to This is the first part of John, a few pages back, John 1. In that first verse, we're told, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Now look, if you jump down to verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus is with God, and Jesus is God. And he has become flesh, but he's always existed. And this is really quite confusing. This is what we call the Trinity. That there's God the Father, there's God the Son. And this is all throughout the Bible. If you look at Isaiah 53, we won't turn there right now. Speaking about the Messiah, the King who will deliver, and it says, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Well, we all have arms. Are our arms part of ourselves? Yes, and the Messiah is part of God, you see. That's what we're being told. The Messiah is part of God. And even in the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis 1:27, you don't have to turn there, it says this, God speaking, let us make man in our image. Us and our is plural, isn't it? But make is singular. So God is a singular plural thing. A singular plural thing, a Father, Son, and Spirit. Now, we don't really have time to explain it. I'm going to give you a little tiny bit of this for you to think about. If God is, and this is what he tells us he is, if God is a compassionate, loving God, full of mercy and grace, if that's who God is, then who does God have to love in eternity? Okay, eternity is that place that none of us can go. Only God exists there. The one thing that has always existed, it exists there. It's God, but is he alone? And does he have no one to love, even though he is love? Well, no, he does. He's not alone. He has himself to love, Father to Son to Spirit. That's why there is a Trinity, because it is all about God's wonderful love. Now, here's the big point and why I'm telling you all this. That love that the Father has for the Son and the Son has for the Father, that love that existed for eternity. Our story is about God sharing that love within himself to us. For God so loved the world means here, I am going to pour out my character of love on you. I'm going to pour out who I am on you, and I'm going to give what is most valuable. We ask the question, well, what does God mean exactly when he says, I give you the Son? I give you the Son. Jesus tells us, verse 14, what is being given, okay? So if we look at verse 14 here, it says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. So the giving of the Son is the same thing as the Son of Man being lifted up. Now, this is an infamous episode that Jesus is referring to in the Torah, okay? So in the Torah, it's the story of God, how he appears to Abraham and makes a great nation out of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and they go down to Egypt, and there they are enslaved. And after a while, God sends a certain person to save the Israelites out of slavery, okay? And there are these incredible, who's watched The Prince of Egypt in here? Who's watched it? Yeah, it's that story, okay? There are these incredible miracles, amazing signs, at the end of which is the death of the firstborn of all those in Egypt, a terrifying thing. And then the Israelites, they run and the Egyptians pursue them, and God splits the sea in two, and they go through the middle. Incredible signs. And then what happens is really anticlimactic. After all this happens, the Israelites are walking through the wilderness, and they're like, oh, it's hot. It's tiring out here. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. And they begin to complain. I mean, it's really shocking with all the miracles that have just happened, then to see that there's complaining. And this goes on throughout the entire time in the wilderness, which happens to be 40 years. There's no food, there's no water. The meat that you gave us is not very good, or the food that you gave us is not terribly good. So that we could go back to Egypt. And it happens not just with this generation, the ones that came out of Egypt, it happens with their children. And so Numbers 21 recounts this story that we're now going to talk about. It's the second generation in the wilderness. They're on their way to the promised land. They have to go around Edom, so it's taking extra long. They took a detour, and they go, oh, what a pain. We're never going to get to Israel. You're going to make us die out here, aren't you, God? Thanks a lot. We loathe this food that you've given us. We're going to sack Moses. We're going back to Egypt. And the next part of the story is hilarious, if it were not so serious. It says that God sends snakes, and the snakes bite the complainers. All the people who are saying, oh, what a pain it is. They get bitten by a poisonous snake. And so now they go to Moses and they say, we've sinned. You know, make the snakes go away. And God says to them, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a pole, and we're going to put the image of a snake on the pole. And everyone who has been bitten, all the complainers who have been bitten, they can come and they can look at the snake on the pole. And if they will look intensely and be like, yep, I own my sin, I will take their away. They will be healed. They will not die. Okay, this is the story that Jesus is alluding to. I want you to notice that that snake represents their sin. What God is asking them to do is to realize how badly they've messed up, to come clean about it, and to say, I need you to save me, and I'm going to look at my sin, and I'm going to be honest about it. Jesus says, I'm going to be where that snake is for everyone. That's what he's saying here. You will look at me, and I will wear all of your sins. I will wear all of your mistakes. I will wear all the things that you have done wrong, and I will bear them, and you will live. That's the picture that is being presented. Where your sin is, there I will be. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him you might become the righteousness of God. Has anyone in here ever done anything that was wrong? Have you? Well, not owning it at all, friends. Have you done what is wrong? Are you willing to? Do you know that upon his body is your sin? Oh, it was fun. He wears it. It killed him. He wanted to die for you. He hung upon the cross to set you free. This is incredible love. This isn't asked for. Neither is oxygen. Neither is food. Neither of any of the things that God gave us. He just lavishes his love on us, and he gives us the Son. What is the gift of gifts? God has given the Father... the Father has given the Son to save the sorry sinner. A second thing to consider today is how we must believe as repentant sinners to benefit from the gift, okay? So, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. I want you to notice it doesn't say God gave his only Son, so everything is fine. You don't even have to respond. Just go about your own business. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say, do nothing with this information. I don't know if this has ever happened to you. This has happened to me a lot. It just kind of surfaces that maybe I have an idolatry of food or something. But anyway, I'll go to a day conference. And as I'm sitting at this day conference, there'll be like the table of really good-looking food. Anyone been to a conference and there's a table of very good-looking, yummy food? And you've got your lanyard, and you're like looking, and you're like, ooh, that looks really yummy. That looks really tasty. See, it's my adultery or whatever. But anyway, here I am, and I'm hungry, and I walk over, and this has happened more than once for me, okay? Walked over to this table of lovely food and been like, yes, yes, please. And they go, okay, yes, what's your name? And they look closely at my lanyard, and then they go, oh, yeah, you're not a premium payer, actually. You don't have the blue dot. This isn't for you. No benefit for you. We don't get the premium. We don't get the love of God if we don't believe. It's not for us. It's an act of, the act of love is for everybody, but the belief makes it so that you actually receive it. And if you don't believe, you don't get it. Well, you say, I do. Came through Jesus and died on the cross and rose again. Yep, I believe, I'm good. Well, it's not just actually even believing those facts about Jesus. At least it's not believing up here. It's believing that in your heart. This is the way it goes. Jesus came, he died for you. It was your sins that held him there. And he's waiting for you to say, well, I'm sorry for what I did. I believe in you means I believe in your words. And what do you say to me? You say, I'm a sinner. You say, I need a savior and that you're my savior. And I believe that. That's the sort of belief that gets you from the gate of heaven into the midst of God in his presence. And everything else doesn't work at all. Just going to church doesn't work at all. This Remembrance Day, it was like many other Remembrance Days, but the thing of notice that took up, that the people were talking about, is that somebody decided to dress up, and they've done this before, they dressed up as a Royal Navy Rear Admiral. Everybody remember this. They dressed up in costume because they wanted to go to this and have people look at them and whatever their reasons were. And that people who really had the position or positions nearby, they looked at him and they said, we've not met this guy, and everybody knows everybody here. And so they were waiting, and they brought him out. And they said, what are you doing here? And you know what? He's never going to go back to one of those again. He's out. And we don't want to be caught out either, because we're churchy people, and we go to church, and we sit, and we listen, and, sometimes we listen, and we tithe. But that's not what gets you into heaven. What gets into heaven is what it is. It is belief, right? It is belief in what Jesus Christ did for you. Don't die from the snake bite, right? Look what it says here. What happens for those who believe? They will not perish and have everlasting life. The reverse is true for everyone else. Those who do not believe will perish and will not live forever. We need that faith in Jesus. The love is already there, but will this love go to waste? It's the question. The Father gave the Son to save the sorry sinner. So I'm going to shortly be asking you, by the way, if you're willing to be that sorry sinner, to humble yourself and trust Jesus and have eternal life. It's a choice that you make. It's a prayer that you pray to God, and then you go and you live it for the rest of your life. But before we get to that, what other things might take away from today's verse? The first thing that I have is that we should be thrilled at what God has done for us all the time, every day. Every day, things are different because of what Jesus has given. Anybody know that song, I've Got Sunshine for a Cloudy Day, right? I guess you'd say, what could make me feel this way? My God. My God. I'm talking about my God. The one who has died for me. The one who showed more love than could ever be shown. I can never outlove God. He has done all that for me, and I cannot. I'm going to tell other people about it. And I'm going to make it the hallmark of my life that I, the wayward sinner, have been saved. You know, things are going wrong, you say. Terrible things are going wrong. I've lost people I love. I have medical conditions that people can't seem to help. Well, you know what? If you're in Christ, you have been redeemed. You're spending eternity with God. And you know what? You're going to make it through. And it is good. Today is good. Live in the joy of what Christ has done. Live in the joy of Jesus. Second, today we're celebrating a baptism. It just so happens that in a moment, Edna is going to go into the water, and then she's going to come up. And that is a picture of descending in death with Christ. Christ, and we join him in dying for sins. We don't actually die for our sins. He does. Okay, so we're lowered down into the water, and then we're brought up into new life. And that is like Jesus' resurrection. And what we are celebrating today is the choice that you and I could make that leads a resurrection day, our living forever. And that's what we want to celebrate. It's also what we want to be thinking about. When's my resurrection day going to be? Third, will you benefit? There is nothing worse, says Coldplay, than when you love someone and it goes to waste. God loves you. Will it go to waste? Will the death of Christ on the cross mean nothing for you? Or will you say, I love you too? See what you offer. I'll admit I will live to you. I will live for you. Thank you for what you've done. Think about that initial picture that I gave. You got a wayward person. They've been living a reckless life. They got caught in consequences. They're dying. Sleep and wake up with a heart. Imagine that they're sitting with the doctor and the doctor is saying, well, we don't know what we could do. And the doctor says, well, right, listen, we got a heart. And you would live if I put the heart in you. But to be honest, if you continue doing the same stuff that you're doing, what difference will it make? You'll just ruin that one too. So you will look me in the eye right now and you will say, I am sorry for doing that and I'm not going to live that kind of life anymore. And you will trust in the giver. Yeah? What if that is actually what God is calling us to do? But that is precisely what God is calling us to do. He's saying, I will give you a new heart. I will give you a new life. But you know what? Confess your sins. Come to me. You can hit the next slide. What does that look like? You're choosing to follow Christ from now on. You could hit the button, yep. It's a prayer like this, but it's meant, it's from the heart. Lord, thank you for coming and dying on the cross for me. I'm sorry for my sin and this old mistake-filled life, and I ask you to forgive me by your blood. I'm changing direction. From this moment on, I'm going to live for you and your kingdom. If you haven't had a moment where you've invited Christ to be your Lord and looked at the cross and said, forgive me. You know, today is a really good day to have a resurrection day. And in a moment, we're going to pray, and I'm going to pray those words. And if anybody wants to follow along, why don't you pray with me? You can pray out loud. You can pray silently. It doesn't really matter because it's to God, not me. And if you mean it, Christ will come and wash your life clean. You'll be washed just like Edna has been washed. And then you will have your own baptism one day. But better than that, you'll spend eternity in Jesus' presence. Let's pray. God, you have loved us, haven't you? And the hardest thing is just you have to tell us that you've loved us. And you not only told us, you showed us. You gave us Jesus. And I pray our hearts would cry out, thank you. Thank you, I surrender. Thank you, I repent. Thank you, I believe in him. And if you want to pray that prayer, I'm going to pray it now, and you can just join along. Lord, thank you for coming. and dying on the cross for me. I'm sorry for my sin and this old mistake-filled life. I ask you to forgive me by your blood. I'm changing directions with your help. From this moment on, I will live for Jesus' kingdom. And all God's people said, Amen.